Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Doing good, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm very good. Just a little reminder before we get started, Go PSURV, longtime sponsor of the Keystone Sports Network, and 15-year provider of RV tailgating in Happy Valley. Well, they are now Blue White RV. Same great team that fans have come to know, but with more lodging and tailgating options than ever. As always, you just show up, let the experienced staff provide everything needed for a relaxed, hassle-free RV tailgating experience, including tailgate games, fire pits, food, and a pavilion showing all the college football games all weekend long. Also, transportation and assistance in obtaining game tickets. We were Go PSURV. Now we are Blue White RV. If you want more information, check out bluewhiterv.com, or you can also call at 800-519-8467. It's a great way to spend the weekend if you're going into Happy Valley. I know one more game, home game left. That's next week against Nebraska. Just as a little aside, Andy, I don't know if this is a bonus for staying or a penalty, but I will probably be staying at Blue White RV next week also for the Nebraska game. Nice. So, yeah, so if you're a fan of the Keystone Kickoff Show and you're attending, please come by and say hello. Would appreciate it. Love to talk to you. It's a great experience. Just drive your car there. The RV's ready for you. I think the best part is still the shuttle to and from the game. All right, Andy, speaking of games and games at home, last week had perhaps the best performance of the season for those Nittany Lions, even though it was in a losing cause against Indiana.
Yeah, the result was the same, right? Like Penn State's losing streak continues. It was a hell of a college football game. It was the difference for Penn State, and what stood out to me was all of their best players showed up. Right, like the names, the guys, you know, Denai Dennis Sutton was an impact player. Zane Durant was an impact player. I think Dom DeLuca had his best game as a linebacker, and he has not been playing all that well. He had a very good game as a linebacker. You know, the secondary, the safeties were phenomenal. Had a little Nick Single, a little extra juice out of Nick Singleton this week. So it seemed to me like, you know, Catron Allen is their best running back in 2025, has been all year, and showed up again. So their best players were better. Grunkmeyer, the young quarterback, took a step forward, right? Like he's a little bit better, showed some improvement. So it was a great college football game. Indiana had a lot to lose. Penn State had nothing to lose. And under James, you know, before he was fired, sort of, at times you would find Penn State teams playing to the level of their competition, right? You mentioned that a lot. And they stepped up and met Indiana. At the end of the day, I thought, from a Penn State fan perspective, disappointing the defense lets them down again to a degree. Like, they're winning the football game, right? They were winning the Northwestern game. They were winning the Oregon game. They were winning the UC, you know, I don't think they were ever winning UCLA. The defense was just so bad day.
But they had a shot to win it at the end of the game and did.
Right, right. So Iowa, for sure, the defense let them down 100%. They gave up the winning touchdown, but Indiana needed some prayers answered, and every single one of them that you need answered, every 50-50 ball thrown up there that was like, you know, dear baby Jesus, let this ball land in my player's hand. And the catch for the winning touchdown was just – the call ridiculous. Was great by Gus. It was ridiculous. The coverage was perfect. The throw was just literally a prayer, a hope and a prayer, and a prayer was answered the catch was just, it was phenomenal. It was unbelievable that he A, caught it, and B, got his foot down. The combination of the two is just nasty. And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing you can do. So it's a lot of the same old, because they lost another game in the losing streak. Six now, right, Jimmy? I kind of lost count.
Yes.
Six. Yeah. It's six. Thank you, sir. As I lose count, and because it's just, it's a lot of the same. It looked different, but the result was the same. But at the end of the day, for me, as you know, the college football fan that I am, what a hell of a football game to just sit there and watch, because you had no idea what was going to happen and what the result was going to be.
There's so much to unpeel in this game, Andy. First of all, in that 0-6, and talking about them playing up to or down to the level of their competition, Ohio State was the outlier. But in the other five losses, and I'm just doing this from memory, I think every one of them was a one-score loss, correct?
Correct. They were all close football games, yeah. I mean, yeah. UCLA ended up being close, but how that happened is still mystery to me. They were all close football games.
All right. Every one, they had an opportunity to win at the end of the game. And it didn't matter if it was a top 10 team, Oregon, Indiana, or if it was a team that up until that game hadn't had a win, like UCLA, or another bad team, Northwestern, or another very average team in Iowa. They somehow managed to keep the game close but lose. With that said, this game felt different to me, Andy, in that even Oregon, that they lost close to a good team, I didn't feel like they played well. I thought they played very poorly. They were outplayed most of the game, managed to come back late. But this game, you put it well, it was just a really good college football game. The one thing I'll mention, you said, you know, Indiana had everything to lose. Actually, I'm not sure they did. They're going to be favored in their last couple games by a lot, Andy. So this game was going to determine whether they would finish the season 12-0 or 11-1. Either way, they're in the playoffs. Either way, they are most likely in the Big Ten championship game. So I think it was a bit old school kind of game, that it was just both teams playing to win that day. You know, they weren't playing with the playoffs in the balance or anything else, or even a conference championship. It was just both teams playing well, trying to win the game. You mentioned some of the individual players. I'm going to mention coaching, Andy. In every other game, I was so disappointed with the coaching, the play calling. This was the first game, and I was even having an issue with Terry Smith, because he would talk from the very beginning. Yeah, we're going to have to get the ball down the field. We're going to have to throw it vertically. We can't keep throwing it horizontally. Terry, you're the head coach. Make it happen. Well, finally this game they did. And, you know, they let Ethan Grunkmeyer throw the ball down the field. Also, defensively, you mentioned late in the game, maybe a bit of a letdown because Indiana did go the length of the field. But, Andy, yeah, I agree. Indiana. I agree more with what you said. You know, I don't want to say they were lucky. They were not. They made the plays. But they still were very fortunate. There were a couple prayers answered.
Yes, 100%.
And, you know, that, you know, very good plays, followed up by the touchdown, which was just a crazy, excellent play. That receiver had no right to get his feet into play, Andy. No right at all.
I think he equally had no right getting his hand and catching that ball. That's like reaching up with one hand?
Well, to me, what's stunning, Andy, is you talk about that, and that wasn't even the best part of the play. You know, to me, as good as the catch was, the ability to get his feet down in the end zone was defied physics. You know, it just wasn't right.
Right.
And
coverage was perfect, Jimmy, because if he tries to be more physical, you've got him on the back line, which is exactly where you want him. If you try to be more physical before the ball gets there, guess what? Comes out. Yellow flag, right? You can't. It was perfectly played. You were talking about coaching. I think there was a little bit more. The game was called offensively with a little bit more freedom. Also defensively, the defense still at the end of the day did not
gave up the score. Yeah,
gave up the score. However, I liked as Indiana was trying to push for that drive, Penn State didn't sit back and give it to them and let them move the ball down the field. They made them earn it. They came after the quarterback and pushed numbers, not just late in the drive, Jimmy. They did it the whole drive. That's when I say couple good throws, couple prayers were answered. They played to win defensively, and they lost. You can accept that better than sitting back, let them go down the field. Then once they get inside the 20, start trying to change the game right there. They did it the entire way down the field. He made two good throws and had two prayers answered.
Well, and remember, Andy, the drive started with a sack.
Correct. Denied Dennis Sutton started the drive with a sack. And they had third and eight or something like that at one point, third and it was great college football theater to watch. That's the best way to put it. And I think Penn State played to win, right? Like in the moments, they played to win. Offensively, particularly in the second half, when the game was close, they played to win. I still would argue their play calling reflects to me a little bit of we're just better than you, and that's not the case. I said that last week, and I still continue to believe that a little bit. But they got more out of the running back, so it doesn't look as bad. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
this sort of scheme and schism behind the play calling is, well, our dudes are better than your dude. So
I don't know if that's exactly the attitude, but what I do know, Andy, is this was better than what the play calling was better than what it had been. I'm not going to go so far as to say it was good, but it was better. And, I'll just wrap it up by saying, I'm not sure you do the young quarterback any favors when you wrap them in bubble wrap and don't let them throw the ball because we're afraid of him making a mistake. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter one. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking about this Penn State football team. And Andy, I think we both agree last week against Indiana was the best performance of the season. I think after they played I don't even know how to describe the game against Oregon, but it was a different team at that point because they still had everything in front of them.
Yeah, game on nervy yeah. And on edge. They weren't sure. They didn't know who they were or what they were. They didn't have an identity. Core problem.
But they fell off the cliff after that. Losses to UCLA, Northwestern. I even consider the Iowa loss a bad loss, even though it was at Kinnick at night. So there was a real difference. It was black and white. Just a total difference, I believe, in this game against Indiana. Okay. I think it was a much better team. They performed with the young quarterback. The defense actually looked like they had their act together a little bit. I liked how aggressive they were. My question, Andy, is now, going forward, was this game like just the last hurrah, their last chance to have an effect on the college football season, taking down an undefeated number two ranked Indiana? So was that the last hurrah, or is there a chance this much better performance, it sticks going forward?
Yeah, that's a good $64,000 roll-age question. So it was fun to watch them, right? Like, that was a fun game. It was fun to watch Penn State play.
Yes.
Right? Because they got beat. They didn't lose the football game. They got beat. There's a big difference, right? They also got beat by Ohio State because Ohio State's that much better. And I'm not sure if Penn State's got everything on the line, if it looks much different, per se, the Ohio State game. But they're in the middle of a six-game losing streak. I do know this. I do know that in the 3 weeks, and believe me, I understand and saw the timeout clock issues by Terry. I think he has their attention. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think he has their attention beyond winning and losing. But at the end of the day, I kind of have the feeling as athletes, you just want to win the darn game, right? Let's just win a game so that we hear the alma mater and don't walk off the field losing. Yes, they know there's six losses behind them in a row. They know that. They don't need to be reminded of that. They just want to feel different at the end of the day. And that, to me, seems like what the kind of the core message is look, if you want to feel different, then you got to make it so. I can't do it. The coaching staff can't do it. You guys have to make it so. And the winning and losing will be determined by you. And they played well enough to win last week. The other team was just a little bit better and good enough to, quote unquote, beat them. That's not going to be the case this week against Michigan State. I don't think you need your best players to play as well as they did against Indiana, but they will want to. They will. I think they will want to. Win a football game. Are they looking beyond this and saying, well, maybe we could be 500. If you do that, then you could lay a stinker. So can they go on the road and perform? Because Michigan State's in the same boat, right? They're looking to win too. They don't have a conference win. They're at home. They know that their stadium's going to be half full and that they have to do it themselves. It's two teams that are both sort of massively underperforming, that have a lot going on around them. Michigan State's got the suspension, the vacated wins, and there's some kind of sanctions going on around them. Penn State's got the firing of their coach, falling off the cliff in terms of expectations. No idea what it's going to look like going forward, but they have a chance to play the game that they love. And this is the chance to validate, was last week a one-hit wonder? In the middle of all of this, in the team that is struggling, that has no identity, and they'd still, maybe they're starting to find a little bit of it. Can they cement that and win a game and understand who they are and what they could do to close out? They still got 12 quarters left. If you threw it all into that four quarters, we'll know that. You still got 12 quarters left. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Last week was part of the sprint. Now you're back into playing the long game. Can you make it stick? I don't know.
Andy, I think that they were the loss to Oregon, you know, we always had the conversations with James Franklin. Does one loss turn into two? Okay. This was one loss now turned into six losses.
Correct.
Actually, I'm going to rephrase that. I think the one loss turned into five losses. Okay. I think that the losses to UCLA, to Northwestern, to Iowa were all a carryover from the disappointment against Oregon. They had all these expectations. The wind went out of them. I think those losses were still a reaction to that loss to Oregon. It felt like this game against Indiana, they finally were able to put it behind them. Psychologically, okay, we now accept our fate. We're not going to the playoffs. We're not going, you know, we're not going to win a conference championship. Let's just go play some football. That's what they did against Indiana. My hope is that that's enough for them to keep going in that way. But you still have to take a look at, you know, the parties involved, you know, the coaches and the players. Are they all still distracted by you? If you're a coach, you're in coaching limbo right now. You're you know, a lame duck. These right. coaches
They're
have
all to, lame ducks. They're all lame ducks. Every single one of them.
You know, it's like, gee, if I'm, you know, I was kind of hoping State College would be a longer term place to be. It's not. You know, we're in this coaching profession. We know this is all part of it. My goodness, who are my buddies that I could call and say, hey, you got a job opening at that place? Where are their potential openings? You know, you're starting to think about, you know, selling the house, moving with the wife and kids. As players, you're probably now you're in the home stretch. You're starting to think about, all right,
your
am
future.
I going to stick? Yeah. Am I going to stick around here or am I going to move on? You know, the
am I going to the NFL? Am I going to put myself in the transfer portal? How far along am I in my education? What do I need? What school looks best for me? The future for nothing or nobody in terms of the Penn State football program exists right now for this team, Jimmy. And that reflects every single coach on that staff and every single player. They're all in the same boat. This is a very temporary, in limbo position that they're in. And they get to determine what it looks like alone, all alone. The fan base isn't involved in this. They don't fully have to live or can understand what they're going through, per se, because, you know, some players and fans might, because they played and were in the NFL and et cetera. But it's a very unique situation that they're in. And it sounds easy. Just go out and play well like you did last week, right? It's not quite that easy. And I think it took twice as much for the Penn State team to come out and perform the way they did, being kicked and punched and sort of beat around the way they had been. Now, can they do credit that some of that credit for me goes to Terry and the coaching staff. Now, can they replicate that? If it's a one-hit wonder, then it was just as much a house of cards built with toothpicks like it was when they lost one football game. It's no different. So they have to be better. Including the three victories, that was the best performance football-wise by a mile of this Penn State team in 2025. And they played – that was game number nine. And that was their best one. It took them to game nine to show up and put a performance together. Still, the result was the same. They lost. Okay, it took 9 weeks. That tells you a little bit. That tells me a lot right there, Jimmy. My secondary point is let's not make that. Let's see if we can stack one and say, hey, even though we're going to have a new coach, maybe a new whole coaching staff, a lot of turnover in the plays, we want to our last three games and put four good performances together at the end. How does that build going forward? Because you're not you take the end of one season, you say, wow, is there a carryover? No, but you take the building blocks along with you, but you have to rebuild. And I think that was a core problem with this Penn State team. They looked at where they finished last year and said, we pick right up where you left off. No, you take the bricks with you and you start from ground zero and rebuild. You have your baseline, which Penn State didn't have the baseline, and you build from there. Can they put something together to build on?
See, I guess I look at it a little differently, Andy. I think winning these last three games is the most irrelevant thing going, because even if they're 6-6 and bowl eligible, they're not going to want to go to a bowl. Half their team could be out the door anyway. So I don't think they have any desire to go.
Yeah, I agree.
They don't want to go play in the Weed Eater Bowl. But what I think I don't even want to use the cliches. It's about pride. I think it's just go out and play football. Just go play the game. And as you put it, at the end of the day, I'd much rather feel like have the feeling you get after winning a game than this awful feeling we've had week after week, which is another loss, facing the media and explaining it again and having the head coach say, we didn't give up, we worked hard. Don't care. You know, the fans don't care. The players, just go out and win, and you're playing a game that is you should win. This is a game that they should win. They are the better team. So yeah. Just go out and play, Andy. All right, that is it for quarter number two. When we come back, it's your questions, and we ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. You know what that means? It's your questions and we ask Andy. Andy, let's get right to it. We'll start with Steve in Huntington Valley. We always have to get at least one Steve in. Steve says, Andy, am I crazy or can Ethan Grunkmeyer play a little bit? I think he's got some intangibles that can make him a really good quarterback.
He can play a little bit. Good question, Steve. We didn't hit on the quarterback a lot. He played better against Indiana. I still feel the same way. He's good. He's a good quarterback. I don't see greatness in him. I don't see like that next level on a consistent basis. He's not, even when he was a complete greenhorn, you know, Iowa and playing in those, you know, playing Ohio State at Iowa, at Ohio State, and then against Indiana at home. Those are your first three games starting quarterback. That's not easy. He's not in any way, shape, or form at any point during this early evaluation. He's not been bad. He's not bad at all, Jimmy. He's fine. He was a little bit better, so now he was fine. Now he's good. Is he that guy? I don't know. I don't think so, because I don't see I don't see the ability to use, I don't see the mobility and the ability to use his legs as a weapon. Like, okay, say pick the Indiana quarterback, Mendoza. His legs are an asset, but they're not his greatest asset. Some say it is. I think he's got a pretty good arm.
Andy, what's interesting is in a show earlier this week with Mike Villagrana, who's closer to the program than you or I, he said, I think Ethan does have the ability to be mobile, but we're not using it. And okay. I think part of it is
that's why we don't see it.
There's no backup. Okay. Everybody's hurt. They can't get him hurt. I wouldn't be surprised if they're telling him on those read options, don't hold on to the ball. But there's opportunities there. The last point is a new coach is coming in. I suspect the new coach is going to want to bring his own guy in. The new coach is going to want to, you know, decide who the coach is. All right, Andy, let's go to, you're going to love this. John from State College. I think it was a mistake to fire Franklin. Hear me out. His resume is as good or better than any of the candidates that are left. Use his $50 million buyout instead for NIL. You wouldn't need to rebuild the next two recruiting classes. You wouldn't have a mass exodus through the portal. There's not even been a hint of impropriety during his tenure. He's had a decade of very good, if not great, football. And now he's taken down by a couple of bad losses. What do you say, Andy?
Very good point, John. You're not wrong. There is a solid argument for it. However, my counterpoint real quickly will be when it becomes with your fan base, when it becomes toxic like it did that fast, there was already an undertone. And it just bubbled to the surface, right, Jimmy? There was already an undertow of, I just don't like Franklin. I just don't like Franklin. But you know, he's winning games and it's okay. But when it went south, it went south fast and the toxicity of it just became untenable. You can't have that, Jimmy. You cannot have that, especially in a blue blood with a beautiful big stadium that needs to be finished. You can't have that level and that feeling there. It's John, you're not wrong. You make a very, very compelling case. However, the X factor was it just became a toxic relationship between the fan base and the leader of the program, and the athletic director cannot have that.
In another world where another universe where James Franklin didn't leave Vanderbilt to coach at Penn State, he went somewhere else, let's say to a comparable program with the comparable accomplishments. And right now, he were available and had never coached at Penn State, there would be a lot of people advocating for James Franklin to be the next coach at Penn State.
Correct.
It just had reached the point where he couldn't come back for this.
It was just
everything came together in such a way, the high expectations, all the players coming back. Yep. And I'll still point it out. Drew Aller was such a disappointment, Andy.
Yep.
Maybe I'm being unfair to the kid, but he cost James Franklin his job.
Well, they were always tied together. And when he didn't perform and then was lost for the season, what's left? Get rid of them both.
It didn't matter, you know, that Drew Aller got hurt. That's irrelevant to Franklin. Franklin was gone anyway.
Correct.
But it was kind of appropriate that their last game was together. And all that happened, yes, it was untenable. It could not have gone on. All right, here we go. Another good one, Andy. Randy from Charlotte says, there are so many coaching changes this year that I've got to believe that it's tied to the money in the sport. My question is, do you think this is now a trend that will continue? Are we going to keep seeing all these coaching changes, Andy?
I think so, because I think the money creates elevated expectation. And I do. And the job has changed. We've talked about it. So to answer your question, Randy from Charlotte, good one. Do I think it continues? I'm going to say it this way. over the next 3 to 5 years, I think this, it still has to iron itself out. I think in the coaching circle, this becomes a little bit more of the norm than the exception. Over the next 3 to 5 years is my guess.
Well, it's always about the money, as you say, Andy. It's always about the money.
End of the day.
But I really believe that this change to the 12-team playoff has changed the expectation level for everybody. There was a time, and I've said this before, with the 4-team playoff, unless your name is Ohio State, Alabama, or Georgia, there was very little expectation of being into that 4-team playoffs. Now, with the 12-team playoff, there's probably 20, 25 teams who think they should be in the playoffs every year, Andy. Our program's got to be one of the top 12 in the country. And if you're LSU, if you're Penn State, if you're Florida, I could go on and on. You feel like you belong in the playoffs. So if you don't make the playoffs, you're a disappointment. And if you're the head of the program, you aspire to that. And I think that's a big part of it also, Andy. All right, let's see. Jimmy from Forest City says, Andy and Jim, rank the following four coaching candidates from top to bottom as your personal preference to be Penn State's next coach, and then the likelihood each would accept if offered. Jeff Brohm, Eli Drinkwitz, Brent Key, Manny Diaz. And Andy, let me just, maybe you didn't see the news. As we're recording this, there's been a lot of talk about Louisville extending Jeff Brohm.
Correct.
And by the time people hear this show, it may either prove to be true, it may prove to be false. So at this point, Schrodinger's box. We don't know if the cat's alive or dead, Andy.
Yeah, and despite that, I'd have put him, in my estimation, I'd have been like, no, bottom of the list. I don't think he's the right fit because Penn State's nuanced, and I don't think he has any of the nuance that the Penn State job is going to require. I think Brett Key is next to bottom of my list. Love him as a football coach. I think he's a horse for a course. Coaching at his alma mater, I think he's a risky move, right? Like, yes, he can coach, but can he replicate what he did at his alma mater, where that's friendly grounds, right, Jimmy? Like, he's got a longer rope and a lot more sort of leeway to work with. Does the way he built it translate to Penn State would be my question for him. Manny Diaz would be next, although he's kind of back to kind of what he was as a little bit as the Miami coach, like can win a big game but can't be consistent. But he checks a lot of boxes. I still think top of my list is Eli from Missouri for a lot of reasons. I'll just keep it at that, short and sweet.
You know, Andy, right now, and every couple days it seems to change, who's the hot coach. And, there's that site now where you could bet on anything, but it's like laying the odds. And
that's crazy.
People interpret that as, oh, this guy's now the favorite. No, they're not the favorite. They just happen to be the highest number from the public, and the public responds to what the media says. So if, I go on a media campaign saying, I think Andy Shea is going to be the next coach, all of a sudden we're going to have people, following along and saying, oh, Andy Shea. With that said, Andy, it almost feels like for so many of these coaches, it's like this conspiracy to get them all extensions. So right now, Eli Drinkwitz is the hot name. And his agent, if he's any good, will use this as leverage to get an extension from Missouri, just like Cignetti did at Indiana, Matt Rule did at Nebraska. So
Eli just got an extension, though, Jimmy, at the beginning of the year. And it was more tied to assistant coaches and support staff and all of that. So they would have to be doubling down.
Yeah. But right now it appear, you know, if you listen to the media, it appears he'd be willing to listen. And if you read some other places, you know, there's been meetings. You keep hearing that kind of thing. And there's no way to prove them true or false. So, you know, Andy, I am so confused by this. Right now, you know, Drinkwitz might be the candidate because he's the last man standing. But would you be surprised if you hear next week, you know, Drinkwitz just signed another extension and got a raise from Missouri? At the end of the day, it might be Manny Diaz because he's the last man standing. I still want to hear more about Brian Hartline. Everyone seemed to be hot to trot for him a week or two ago. Now we're not hearing it so much. All right, Andy, that's it for Ask Andy. One more quarter to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Andy, as is our tradition, we're going to take the last question of Ask Andy. And we're going to segue right into our quarter four segment, which is
coaching search.
The coaching search. Andy, it's the biggest news. We've got to hit on this every week, I do during the week.
Absolutely.
Because this matters more than the game against Michigan State. Okay.
It does. And
You know, what do we do now with this coaching search? Is it, if you start to list the, I'm using air quotes here, the quote unquote favorites, you know, we've gone through Kurt Cignetti, we've gone through Matt Rule, we may be getting through Jeff Brohm right now. You know, these guys are staying where they're at, signing extensions. I always felt that Pat Kraft had cornered himself into having to make a big time move here, okay? A big name and a home run hire, because it's been essentially, you know, with James Franklin, they're winning 10 games. They finished in the top 10. So if you're going to make a change, Andy, you better be making a change to finish higher than that. So where does he go now?
So it is, I think he will, at the end of the day, regret that choice of adjective to describe what he's looking for. I still think he's looking for the right guy, not quote unquote the best guy. We have addressed it that there are nuances to being the leader of this Penn State program. The job is in transition itself in college football in what's required of a coach. That is in transition. So, and you've got a couple calendar things. So the timeline, it's a month. So we're heading into month two. You know, you've got a commitment day coming up in about a month, right? And you've got the transfer portal opening at the beginning of the year, right in the middle. It appears for programs, and they're competing now against Florida and LSU. Are they really competing against them? I'm not sure, but they are overtly, they are the three big names, schools that are out there looking for jobs or for coaches to fill their position. So the playoffs and the timeline of the playoffs with mixed with the timeline of the portal creates it difficult. A guy like Elko at Texas A&M, right? Like would he be a candidate? Absolutely. I think he is a very strong candidate. But in the timeline that, you know, do you say you have to have it before the portal opens or commitment day? Maybe not commitment day, but my gosh, it just seems like it'd be almost like you'd set yourself back. You'd be taking two steps backwards if you didn't have it set in by the transfer portal day, because who's going to manage the direction of the roster? Elko can't say if his team's in the college football playoffs, yeah, I'm going to be the next Penn State coach, but I'm going to keep it on the QT. You're not going to keep that on the QT. And when he's got a team right in front of him to coach these Patriots. So it's becoming trickier for Pat than even we probably thought, or anybody probably thought, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago when he was fired. So, it is tricky, and I still like what the Missouri coach brings to the table. I like what Eli has. I still feel personally that this is a short-term hire. I really do. I think, you know, he might not hit the home run as you might. Like, he might hire somebody, and you'll be on here with Salty Jimmy going, this is not a home run. And the fan base will be like, this isn't a home run. But they need the right guy right now. And Pat's on the hot seat. It is hot. It is getting hot in his kitchen, Jimmy.
Well, here's the thing, Andy. I'm not, last week the story was he interviewed Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer didn't give the right answers about NIL. Urban Meyer is a huge name, and if there's truth to it and they had been able to hire Urban Meyer, Pat Kraft would have won the press conference, could go out there and see, I got this guy who won national championships.
Correct.
I hit the home run. Me personally, I don't necessarily think that would have been the home run hire. I'm with you. I want to get the right guy, not the guy who's the biggest name. Now, when this process started, it was, in a normal year, Penn State would have been the only big-time job. Now it's one of several.
Correct.
And, you know, that thinking of if any other year over the last half century, if you wanted to take the Indiana coach away from them, all you had to do is say, here I am, I'm Penn State. You know, I'm the belle of the ball. I'm the homecoming queen. Of course you want me. Well, guess what? You know, the coach of Indiana said, no, I want to stay here. And he extends that, you know, he's still with Indiana. Matt Rhule, who I don't know if Pat Kraft really had any interest in him, but he always knew, you know, that was his safety school or his safety date. You know, if the homecoming queen doesn't want me, I know Matt Rhule will always go out with me. Well, guess what? Matt Rhule said no. So it's the landscape has changed quite a bit, Andy. And the other part to this equation, you mentioned the Texas A&M coach, Mike Elko. He's going to be going through the playoffs. If he were to come to Penn State, it would be sometime in January, probably after the portal.
Correct.
And I don't think Pat can afford to wait that long.
I disagree.
Again, everything, you just put the pieces together. Again, they have a very manageable schedule next year, Andy. I think he wants to win next year. And all of a sudden, I think Eli Drinkwitz becomes a very viable candidate because perhaps most importantly, he's not going to be in the playoffs.
He's not going to be in the playoffs.
At the end of November, when his regular season ends, he can bolt.
Does
he could get here.
Come with him?
Maybe.
Does a quarterback come with him? I'm just asking.
Andy, do two Pennsylvania quarterbacks come with him?
I'm just at. Does this kid from Springford come with him, the third string kid who's playing now? I don't know.
And or Bo. So
that's what I'm asking.
And, you know, I think whoever comes in, Pat's going to ask them, explain to me how you are going to win next season. And if you're an Eli Drinkwitz, maybe that's part of the strategy. Hey, I know I've got X number of guys who are on my current roster who will follow me.
That's part of it. And here we get back to the sort of talent acquisition and roster management. Jimmy, we can safely say right now, you and I think we can probably both agree this. You, however you put them, take the top 10 players on Penn State's roster right now. The 10 best players that you and I doesn't matter who I'd either say 8 or 9 of them at a minimum. 8 or 9 of them might either be gone to the NFL or transfer portal. Bang. So you're going to lose the largest of the large of the top talent that you already have. That doesn't talk about the players that are 11 through 50 that might go as well. So you know you've got to do some serious player acquisition and roster management. They need somebody to do that, Jimmy. They've got to have somebody to do that. You talk about next year's schedule, and I don't disagree with you. But, man, you've got to find somebody in place that's going to make sure, because they're going to lose 80 or 90% of their top 10 players out of cause. That's going to – not because they're running from a fire. Some of them are going to go – a good chunk of them are going to go to the NFL. But you're going to lose them. You want to – it's about players 11 through 50. How can you manage that? And what are you going to do to replenish the top 10? They need somebody in place for that, Jimmy. End of the day. And that's transfer portal day, January 3rd, I believe it is. Clock's ticking.
And, Andy, that is why whoever comes in has to have that plan. And you know what, Andy, the top 10 players might have been gone anyway.
Correct.
If we could rattle them off, but it's now about keeping the next generation, the Chaz Colemans, not your first two running backs because they're both gone. We know that, but how about the next couple? Do you want to keep those, you know, do you want to keep those young tight ends? What you have on the offensive line. Those are the guys. Those are the questions.
Great.
All right, Andy. We've got 2 minutes left. We've got to do it anyway.
Oh,
Michigan State, we need a prediction, and we need a bold prediction.
Okay, so honesty moment, I didn't even know who they were playing this week, per se, because I'm not paying attention.
It didn't matter.
It's irrelevant. They're playing Michigan State. Michigan State is winless in the conference as well. So is Penn State, which is weird to say. They're the better team. They will determine the outcome of this game. They are in control of the outcome of this game. In other words, if Michigan State wins the game, it's because Penn State handed them the ability to control the outcome. Penn State is the better team. So, you know what? I think they get – this is the right spot to end the losing streak. Penn State 28, Michigan State 17. Let's just go with that as a score. And bold prediction? Both running backs go for 100 yards, Jimmy.
You know, I don't know if we'll see that. I don't know if there's enough offense here. I'm predicting 24-14. Which the spread, I forget if it was 6.5 or 7.5 points. So we both have them covering the spread. I think you hit it. The outcome will be determined by Penn State. How much do they want to play? I'm going to go. I'm trying to think of a good stat for Ethan Grunkmeyer. 2 touchdown passes, no interceptions, over 200 yards. How's that?
Hey,
complete 70% of his passes.
Hey, your dart stuck in the board. I'm good with it. Because we're literally throwing darts at a board. Because they've lost six straight games.
All right, Andy, we shall see. One thing's for sure, next week we'll be still talking about this coaching search one way or the other. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.